You're listening to the Branches HB Podcast.
Welcome, all of you Branches people. Hey, some of you missed those announcements and you're going, oh, I just turned on the TV or whatever you're watching this from. You know, you can always go to our website. You can find out what's going on here at Branches. If you missed worship, remember, you can go back and listen to worship. It's all part of this excitement about worshiping God, and we are so excited to be here. My name is Brock. I'm one of the privileged pastors to be able to even do some teaching and be able to talk to you wherever you're at in your living room, if you're in your car, wherever you're listening to this. Recognize that, man, we all just get to connect with God. And I love having the privilege of doing that with you this morning. Well, we are going through such an exciting place of Scripture. And I love the New Testament. But, man, we're in the first book in Matthew. And we're in chapter 5. You want to grab your Bible, or if it's on your phone or your pad, whatever you have, grab those. Love for you to turn in there. We're going to get there in a second. But I just wanted you to be reminded of this. I think sometimes we forget the value of God's word. You know, we read it. I mean, we have different sources of it. If you have a phone that has, let's say, a YouVersion, you have maybe 50 different versions of it. There's so many of these stacked in our homes, and yet we don't use it. And sometimes we don't believe it's the truth. I just want to remind you, as a church, we believe that God's word is the truth, and we abide by this, and we listen to this, and we read it as if we just had it written to us now. But even though we know it's inspired by God, you know, it even says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that it was God breathed, and then man was writing it. So we believe it's so true. David had this heart towards God. And listen to this in Psalm 25, 4 through 5. He says this, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long." Did you hear what he's saying? He said, show me your ways. Teach me your paths and guide me. Man, that's what I'm going to ask for each one of you today. To sometimes close up some of the thoughts you have in your mind about when we read Scripture that is familiar. And we're going, I've already read that. I've already experienced that in my life. So we go by experiences or our past or the way we've heard things, and we just take it like that's the truth. I want you this morning, as you hear God's word, to hear as Jesus is going to talk directly to you, is what do I do with this? And if he's speaking to you, and he's speaking to your heart, what am I going to do with what God says in his word? And how am I going to be active in it? Well, before I even go into the scripture, I want to share this story that's going to help us understand this area of that we're going to talk about, which is retaliation. And we're going to talk about loving your enemies. Those are the areas we're going to go into. But this story, typically you do this in the middle of the message, but I just think it's a great story. And I was reminded of it yesterday as I was studying. And back in 1999, I was going to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And there was a lady, her name was Madge Rhoda. She was one of the people that played actually the organ. Yes, some of you never heard of that. It's like a piano, but with pipes to it and has sound to it. She played the organ, 70-year-old lady. She would go to the 7:30 service. Yes, you young folks, there was 7:30 a.m. services. But she would go 2 or 3 hours ahead and go to Denny's, and she would study the word, prepare her heart to hear what God wanted to speak to her. Well, here's pretty drastic, and you can close your kids' ears right now, but this poor lady was raped and beaten and stabbed almost to death on her way to church to play the organ. I know that's harsh and that's incredible. Here's the story I want you to hear behind that. She doesn't see the man that does this to her until she goes to the court. She sits in court with a judge and all these jury there. And she says to this young 23-year-old young man, she said, "Can I have a minute to talk to him?" And the judge said, "Absolutely." She went to him and she said this, "First of all, I want to tell you that I forgive you for what you did. Then the second thing," she said, "is I want to give you this Bible. And I have highlighted this Bible with what I see as very important words from God." And here's her exact words she said to him. "God's word is all you need. This will help you along your journey." So here's the crazy story. She began to visit him in jail. She began to write, and they would write back and forth. And all of a sudden, she claimed him as a friend. He claimed her as a friend. He came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is that incredible story? Well, as we talk about this story today that Jesus is going to bring to us, you're going to understand why I brought that to you. Because we have to listen to what God has to speak to us today, not just what we know. You know, Matthew chapter 5 has been incredible. And I know Andrew had to go through some harsh things last week, talking about adultery and divorce, which is something we do have to talk about. Most all of us in some form of a friendship or family have experienced this. And again, grab that and listen to that. And you can turn to it after you listen to me and listen to that message. But I think it's important. But in chapter 5, Jesus has these four statements that he has said. Now, there's going to be six, but he has these four statements so far. He said, "You have heard that it was said, but I tell you." So it's what you've known in the past, Jewish people. Let me tell you now what I'm trying to explain about the law, because they were all wrapped up in the law. And today we're going to get two more of these things. We're going to learn about retaliation, and we're going to learn about this area of loving our enemies. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 48. "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. Also, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, lend them your coat also. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Then in 40, this next verse, he says, "You have heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Let's pray. Father, as we have just read your word, yes, that's a familiar passage. That doesn't mean it's easy for us to hear. That doesn't mean we get it immediately. That doesn't mean that we're like perfect with that or we're even understanding it. But Father, I just pray you open our heart and our soul to hear from you now in your word. I pray, Father, that anyone that is struggling or right now they're just distracted, I pray they zero in on you and speak to them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, you're going, "Oh my goodness, as I read that," you're going, "What? I was doing this as I first read that early in the week. What? Love your enemies? Turn the other cheek? Go the second mile? Seriously, Jesus." I mean, that's pretty intense. Have you ever struggled with this passage? And maybe you've read this. I've read this so many times. Can't tell you how many times I've read this passage. And I kind of breeze through it, the Beatitudes, not realizing this is so important. But this time, because I was teaching, I very much stopped. And I began to pray and say, "God, teach me in this." And I look at this, and we see this area that says, "Pray for those who persecute you." Now, that's hard. Then there's this kicker at the end of that passage. It says, oh yeah, by the way, be perfect too. Are you kidding, Jesus? Why don't I just sprout wings and fly to the moon, right? I mean, that's pretty intense stuff. To love my enemies and to pray for them, like to actually care about them and go the extra mile. Well, those are some areas we're going to talk about. There's two primary commands from Jesus here. If you're a note taker, great time to take that pen out and write this down. Two primary commands from Jesus. Don't retaliate against those who wrong you. I'm going to say that again. Don't retaliate or try to get revenge against those who wrong you. This is in verses 38 through 42. So Jesus brings up this Old Testament Mosaic law. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's pretty harsh, right? Because today we're going, that doesn't seem like a nice judicial system. That's a tough law. So if I accidentally knocked your eye out or had you go blind, I too have to lose an eye. Or if I accidentally threw a ball and I hit you with a tooth, I have to lose a tooth. Sounds harsh, right? Well, it is harsh, but that was not, the law back then was not supposed to be there to grind them or go, you deserve this, or you have to do this. It was so, there wasn't, it was to prevent the unjust punishment. It was like, you lose an eye, so then you die. You know, that was why the law was there. So it was important. But Jesus is not, he's not blown off that Old Testament law at all. He's addressing the Jews and their misinterpretation of how they heard the law or the teachings. We've seen that throughout the six statements we talked about. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. He's talking about this eye for an eye. What is he talking about? Many Jews were using this as an excuse for personal revenge. They were going, so you took my eye, I'm coming after you to take your eye. So there's this revenge because it came on me personally. You know, we see this all the time. We look at verse 38. It says, do not resist the one who is evil. It says, resist. Resist means to set yourself against with resentment of the desire, especially for personal vengeance. Oh, I want to resist or set myself against them. And then he gives some examples. Look at verse 39. He says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Do you know what this means? You know, if someone slaps you, you think about it. I wish someone was here, I could slap them, but I wouldn't want to do that. But if I would slap you like this, I would hit them with the left cheek, right? But in the Jewish way, if you were to backhand someone and slap them in a public, you would hit them at that right cheek. And Jesus is saying to them, turn to them the other cheek. So it's almost like they turn. They would almost be hitting the nose. But here's the issue about this. It was one of the most insulting things that you could do in public was to slap someone with that back of the hand. And Jesus knew this. And so it was not so much about the thing of punching someone or getting hurt. It was the insulting thing. And so Jesus was speaking to that. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone was to slap me, I would probably, out of revenge, naturally go, are you kidding me? And want to slap them back, right? That's just what we typically do. You know, I have 14 grandkids. Love them all. Can't even remember all their names. No, I probably can. I can't remember birth dates, though. But each one of these kids, there's two of them. And there's one of them's Keegan and Slade. And they're the seven-year-olds, and they're the same age within a few months. And those little guys in the backyard, they can be climbing the tree, playing on the waterfall, playing somewhere. One of us go out there, either the parents or the grandparents, go out there and say, break it up, guys. Now, that's just what we do. We want to get revenge, right? We want to get back at someone. And that we have to be so careful with that. And we know, those boys knew it was just an accident. But an accident, you punched me, but I've got to come back and punch you. So there's your accident also. And that's funny and that's a crazy story, but that's so real. And for you families, you know what that's like. For you brothers, you sisters, you had those fights. I know about that. But Jesus is trying to get across something to them. Jesus is saying to them, we're not to return the insult. That's what he's trying to say. Don't return an insult. We're supposed to respond with a humble way. And in this area of gentleness, in this spirit of gentleness, that's what Jesus is trying to get across. He's again not saying if someone punched you, you don't have any right to self-defense. Jesus isn't talking about that. Because matter of fact, if you're a scholar, you know Romans 12 and 13 talk about Jesus and the law, and he lays down the law, and he talks about the authorities and abiding by authorities. But what he's talking about is being humble and not retaliating just because you were hurt by a little slip. And we need to learn this. There's a guy in my gym. I won't even say his name in case someone turns on there, but there's a guy, and you know what? He's the biggest guy in the gym, literally, physically. This guy's his bodybuilder. He's massive. He wears the little shirts from the whatever that gym's called that all the massive guys come from. And he's just this big guy. He's in there for like 2 or 3 hours just working on those muscles. And he comes to me, knows I'm a pastor. And, you know, he came to me one day and he's really bothered about his brother. And he goes, my brother, I just hate my brother. I'm so upset with my brother. And I told him a few things about forgiveness. I said, bro, you're not going to be free of this until you seek forgiveness from him. He goes, are you kidding me? He needs to ask forgiveness from me. He's the one at fault for my family's inheritance and all this stuff. He was so mad at me about 2 weeks. We were in this COVID time and we couldn't go back to the gym. And he comes back and he goes, I'm steaming. I go, what happened? He goes, I've been mad at you for 2 weeks. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, remember you said that you got to forgive your brother, and that's all I can think about is how I have to do that. And he goes, but I haven't done it yet, but I'm still mad at you. And I said, I'm telling you, you'll find freedom in that. And this is just what Jesus is trying to get across to us today. There will be people that will cross you. But there's this incredible counterculture idea that I need revenge. I've got to have my revenge. I love movies. You know, if I ever get any time to do anything, and I hate to say it, but I guarantee I'm not the only guilty person that thank the Lord for Netflix, because during some of this COVID, I probably watch a little more Netflix than I normally do because a lot of meetings are canceled, a lot of things I can't meet. But there's this old movie, and I'm sorry if even tell you I've watched it, but it's called The Godfather. Okay, if I could think of anything when I was thinking about it this week about revenge, and all of a sudden Marlon Brando, he says this, revenge is a dish better served cold. I don't know how he did it, whatever that is. But he was basically talking about the revenge of the family. This family doesn't deserve, they deserve to die. Wow, that's where we are today. We think I got to get back at someone. Jesus is talking to us about this personal revenge. Well, this same point Jesus is making with the other examples, look at verse 40. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. You know what he's saying here? You know, it talks about cloak. It talks about a different thing if you look at different translations. But back then, they would wear a coat, which is that outside appearance, which kept them warm. Then they would wear basically this undershirt, which was really their underwear. Jesus was saying, give them your coat and give them that underwear. You're basically staying naked in front of them. The idea behind that is give them what they're asking for. Now that's pretty crazy, but that's what Jesus is talking about. Avoid lawsuits. It's more than just that. He's saying, not just turn your cheek, but it's this principle of the heart is where he's trying to get at. He's speaking about my heart and your heart. Throughout this whole Sermon on the Mount, all this first chapter 5 is all about heart. It's Christians that we have this selfishness. We're supposed to be unselfish. It's not about just my own personal rights, but what about others? What about the people around me? We see this in verse 41 and 42. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. So he's talking about, you know, back then, if a Roman guard was to, he sees your backpack, and you have a 100-pound backpack, He has the rights to tell anybody, take that 1 mile, within a mile, and carry that for me. I don't care what the weight is, carry it for me. But Jesus says, don't just go the mile. I want you to go to the second mile. Wow. This is like, are you kidding? As they're hearing this, the disciples are listening to Jesus. He's going, this is going against the things that we know. Yeah, it is. And Jesus is trying to get them to that point, to move from this first main theme is don't retaliate against others, but understand where Jesus is coming from in the heart of Jesus. It's a lot different. It's completely ignoring your personal revenge and just letting God have these things in your life. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 says this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort with his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Jesus is trying to get us in this point to unite with him. Be one with Jesus. Understand where his heart is. And then it says, value others above yourselves. That's not even equal. That's not even valuing, well, they're on the same place as me. No, it's you and you and you and you. It's every one of us are to be above me. I'm to see your needs as valuable. This is huge. Part of having Christ's heart for people is not ignoring their needs, right? Look at verse 42. Great example. He says, give to the one who asks you. Somebody asks you, I'm in need. It says, give to them. And do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Someone needs to borrow some. Here you go. Take it. You can have it. Do we do that? That doesn't mean we ignore people, right? We just blow off people. It's like, well, you have a need. I know you do. I'll pray for you, brother. No, it means act on it. Jesus is basically saying, do that. If they're asking for something, you need to help with them. Now, you have to decide who that is and what to give them. That doesn't always mean that you pull out your pocket and give them cash. It could be you're going to the grocery store, getting them a $10 gift certificate. It could be giving them food. But we always want to be convenienced, and we don't want to be out of our convenience. So we don't want to always give to someone that's maybe a little different than me. Or maybe they're a little less fortunate. So I don't really want to go there. I don't really want to go to their house. Well, Jesus is really talking to you and me. Then in verse 43 through 48 is this second primary command from Jesus. If you're a note taker, it's that second primary command from Jesus is love your enemies. Love your enemies. Verse 43 says, you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. Oh, wait a minute. That's a big word, hate. Well, this Old Testament, remember, we see this over and over about loving your neighbor. Leviticus 19:18 says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. And then they would say, wait, who's my neighbor? Well, your neighbor, they would say, well, that's my friend. But Jesus then is all of a sudden going, no, your neighbor is anyone you're around. Do you love the neighbor, the person, yes, that lives next door to you, or yes, the person that you work with, or even your enemy? Even the person that's wronged you? Like I mentioned the guy at the gym or this lady at the beginning of the story where she loved this man even though she was wronged. Jesus is shocking them as he says this. Who's my neighbor? Ah, it's my friend. So I can love my friends. So you go through this list I'll love my friends. I'm going to love my family. Then I'll love these acquaintances. And then I'll love the people on my Facebook page, which some of you have thousands that you probably don't even know. You might have gone to junior high with them. You don't even know them. But I can love them probably, but my enemies? This is a tough one. You know, maybe you're okay about, well, I don't need revenge from them. But for me to love them more than I love myself, that's pretty intense. But Jesus goes beyond that, and he's trying to get us in this place of loving your enemies. And then he says, and pray for those who persecute you. Pray. Not only do I have to love them, not have revenge for them. Okay, I'm past that. But I have to pray for them, like regularly put them in my prayers, even though they've persecuted me. Wow. Have you ever heard of the word for love in the Greek language called agape? You have to express this and have this in your life. I don't know how you can love. There's not another religion or any other place out there that says, love your enemies. It's a pretty rare thing to hear anyone say, love your enemies. But God's telling us this. But in agape, it means to take pleasure in them, to esteem highly or wish well of them. Really, God? Are you serious? I'm to take pleasure in them, agape them, highly esteem them as if they're better than me? Now that's next level. And that's incredible. If we listen to that. Well, here's the thing. It's outrageous thought that we have to love this way. But that's what Jesus says. Love those who hate you. Love those that seek your harm. Love those that talk bad about you. Love those that don't care about you or aren't considerate towards you. Love all people, including your enemies. Wow. You know, I have a good friend of mine. His name's Phil Gunn. Lives just outside of Dallas in Arlington, Texas. And we were buddies, raised up since I was 5. He was 4 years old. We're like close friends, roommates in college. Love the guy. Well, you all know about Texas, right? You know what's going on there. We were cold coming to the warehouse because it's 60 degrees and, you know, we're freezing. Are you kidding me? And we're hearing all these sad stories about what's going on with Texas. Pray for people in Texas. I mean, it's not over and it's hard. But my buddy Phil said, you know, we had electricity, so we just started calling people that we know that their electricity and their gas was out, and they just started coming to their house and spending the night with them. I mean, that's reaching out and loving. He went to neighbors and started seeing, are you okay? Are you okay? He went to his in-laws. They didn't have power. They didn't have a heat. He went to 5 places to find propane just to get them enough heat in the house, and then he helped help them figure out how to keep their refrigerator and their freezer going, and you know, by putting it out where it's cold. He was expressing love in such a cool way for people he doesn't even know. Do we do that? You know, why do we love all people? Why do we love everyone, as Jesus is talking about? I'm glad you asked that. Jesus is going to answer that in verse 45 through 47. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people and are doing more than others, do not even the pagans do that? So here's the first why. Why do we love enemies and others like that? Here's the answer. Our Father loves all, so we should love some? No, so we should love all. Look at verse 45. It says, because we are sons and daughters of the Father. That's why we love all. Because I am a son of the Heavenly Father, and I am to be Christ-like. We are his sons, right? We're supposed to act like his sons. I watch my grandsons, and they try to be like their dads. They're trying to dress like them or look like them or have haircuts like them. Are we trying to be like our Father? I hope we are. This next part of the verse, he says, he causes his sin to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What does that mean? It means that God does not only care and provide for his children, but even provides for those that have run away from him or have never called him by name or asked him to come into his life. He rains on them. If you were to look this up, they would call this common grace. Common grace refers to the care that God shows his creation. It includes those who are actively rebelling against him. So here's the question that comes to mind, and I struggled with this week a lot. I looked at this, and I struggled. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this. If God, the perfect holy God who provides for all people, looks past how peculiar people treat him and love them anyway, why do we, sinful humans, being that hurt others at times, have such a problem looking past how people treat moi, us? If God can love his so-called enemies that have a gaffe that is so vast between God and this person, and yet we can't love our enemies that are on the same level as us, that live beside us, possibly in our home. Why? Because we're selfish. Because we are so full of pride. That's why I had to look at that this week. As I just was struggling with that. God, I don't really have retaliation in people. I don't think of anyone that I haven't forgiven yet. But man, there are so many times I am selfish about my time or my talents or my treasures. Or these crazy people, look what they're doing. Or I'm talking about somebody or some group. I have had to ask forgiveness this week for this. But this simple answer is not just, do we have pride? Yeah, I think all of us have pride. But do we look through the eyes of Jesus at people? Probably not. That's what I had to say. God, I want to be more like you. Remember when the What Would Jesus Do bracelets were out? Man, people were asking that question over and over. What would Jesus do? I'm going to ask you that. What would Jesus do on the people that have wronged you? Or those that you've questioned in your life? What do you ask God for? How do you ask God? Here's this last verse. It says, to me, this is probably one of the most difficult parts of this journey of being Christ-like. Verse 48. To me, this is the summary verse of the entire chapter of 5. It says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. How in the world am I supposed to be perfect? Seriously, come on. How can I be perfect? Well, if you look this up in the Greek word, perfect means mature, complete, or whole. So if I'm to be perfect like Jesus, I'm just to be mature, complete, or whole. Well, basically that means reflecting the character of the Father. So why am I here? Why are you here on this earth? I think it's this, and here's my answer. Pursuing godliness and spreading the gospel. It's basically, in a nutshell, it is becoming like Jesus, which you will be his disciple, and you will go and make disciples. That is why we're here. This is the one thing that we must get across to each one of us. This perfect moment to examine yourselves. Do I look like my Father by loving my enemies? Maybe you need to pause on that. Do I look like my Father? Do I love? Or do I hold a grudge against someone around me, against believers in Christ? I want you to listen to this statement. I'm almost done. To hold a grudge against a believer in Jesus, or even a non-believer, is to hold back forgiveness from a believer. It's saying that Jesus dying on the cross was enough for God to forgive them, but not enough for me. Are you kidding? So what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough? For the people that are non-believers, for me to judge them and to go against them and say, well, they're not believers, so I don't have to love them. That is not truth. That is not what Jesus is saying. That's holding a grudge against somebody. We have to be so careful. No one that you'll ever meet, or hear about, or read about has experienced more pain and suffering than Jesus, right? Who never hurt one person, yet even though he had incredible injustice, Jesus sought no personal revenge. Instead, he genuinely loved all people. He went to the cross, and he loved the people that took him to the cross. He even stood beside two people that were deserving of the cross, and he wasn't judging them. The person that had just, the soldier was about to stab him in the side to take his final breath, he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the Jesus that we need to understand. He went through the pain and suffering. He has gone through ways of saying, I deserve to be for them to forgive me and me forgive them. I deserve way more. But instead, he says, I forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do we have that mind of Christ? I hope we do. This very last few words I have for you is this. The second why for loving all people, including our enemies, is this. Christ-like love for all is one of our most distinguishing marks. Look at these verse 46 and 47. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? You know what he's trying to say is, hey, it's easy to love someone that loves me back. It's easy to love my family because they love me. But that's cheating. Jesus is trying to say, do you love the person that is the down and outer? Do we love the homeless people? Do we love the people that don't have? Remember he said, if they ask for something, give to them. Do we love everyone around us? This characteristic needs to be in each one of us. We need to ask the Lord, I want to have my eyes, spiritual eyes, more like yours. No one else in the world has more reason to love their enemies than what Jesus was like going, whoa, look what happened to me. But instead he's going, wow, look how much I love them. So I want you, Branches Church, as Christians, to go to this place in your life. The band can come up. You guys can roll in here because I just want to ask you this question. As Christians, we should be known for our love. Are we? Our outrageous love for those who have hurt us, who have betrayed us, who have abandoned us, like Jesus, who genuinely loved us, even those who cried out for his death, Jesus said, I love you. Let's seek to be perfect, like that last verse. Perfect, but as we know in the Greek words, perfect means mature, complete, and whole. Because our Father is mature and complete and whole. Let's pray. Father, as we, first of all, thank you for your word, because your word has gone out to us as truth, and we believe it is truth. Now, it's our part. Now, we as the church have heard your word. What do we do with it? There are some people right now that have listened to this, that have felt a spirit within them, the Holy Spirit speaking to them, saying, that uncle I need to go to, that dad I need to go to, that sister, my brother, my aunt or my uncle, that old boss, my best friend in high school. Maybe it's my spouse. For some, they're going, I wish I could go to someone, but they're dead now. Father, we know that we can come to you and ask for forgiveness. And recognize, Father, that it starts with us saying, God, I don't want revenge. I don't want justice. I want to experience love. And I want to give out love beyond what I'm capable of, but that agape love that only comes through you. So, Father, I pray that you give my friends, my family that are listening to this, that agape love, that they begin to love and express it outwardly, that they begin to notice people around them that need to be talked to, that need to experience love, that need to hear words, that need to know that they're truly loved no matter what. Father, help us to not be selfish anymore, but to be selfless and kind to others. We love you. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening to the Branches HB podcast. For more information on Branches, you can visit our website at brancheshb.com or stay up to date with us on Instagram at brancheshb. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.